sir. David, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I want to welcome all of you to our Monday night, what we call Meet the Diamonds call. My name is Dave Stolzfus. I'm an Ekan Royal Diamond. And for those of you who just joined us, 30 minutes prior to this call, we do what is called an Ekan preview call every Monday evening. That starts at 7:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we introduce Ekan to new people. And it's the same number and the same pin as this call. You can get on the call. You can stay right on, and you move right into this call tonight. I'm really honored and really glad to. I've been looking forward to this week, this call, for a long, long time. Elsa is just one of those special, special people out there. And if you ever meet her, you'll understand why. I want to welcome our special guest tonight, Elsa Boynton. Good evening, Elsa.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Thrilled to be here.
Yeah. Now, Elsa, are you at home or are you at home?
Well, I have two homes, and I'm down here looking out over the ocean. Well, it's a little dark, but I'm in South Carolina.
Oh, my goodness. You're in South Carolina. What do you do, spend half and half?
Well, we have a really tough life here. We stay in Baltimore. We've been there, oh my heavens, almost 50 years. I've been around the track a few times, you folks are going to be able to tell, but we leave in November. We come down to South Carolina, go back for Christmas, and then we're gone most of January, February. We're in San Diego, and March and April, we're here in South Carolina.
Yeah, and you guys are great golfers, so you play golf every day?
Avid golfers. Not every single day, but today we rode our bike. I rode the bike for an hour. We walked the beach for an hour, and it's a wonderful life. And I'm thrilled to be able to do it, by the way.
Absolutely. Well, it's really great to have you on the call. Tell George we said hi.
Oh, I shall. He's got his basketball games on tonight. We're not budging him.
Okay. I understand. You know, I found that when I'm doing these calls, Elsa, that the guest many times does a better job in introducing themselves and going into their background a little bit. Would you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your life was like in Ekan, before Ekan, and maybe since you've been in Ekan?
I don't know if you all got that much time, David.
No, I'm just kidding. I know. I mean, you have a phenomenal story. We want to hear. we want to weave your story into the whole thing this evening. But I want to ask you some poignant questions as we go along here. But share a little bit, Elsa.
Well, just briefly, Dave. I've suffered from a condition that many, many people in Ekan enter for the same reason, where I just ached and hurt all over, and it started when I was quite young. And I grew up in Texas. My father was a physician. I had the very best of care right at my fingertips, except that I had a condition that nobody acknowledged really existed. And so, therefore, being a female and having a non-existent condition, it was, you know, determined that it was in your head. So I sort of spent most of my life, it started when I was a teen, and I'm approaching 70, so you can imagine how long I have.
Okay, now I'm going to stop you. Elsa, you're not approaching 70.
Yeah, honey, I'm sorry. George hit 70 soon, and I'm right behind him.
You don't look a day older than 50.
Well, aren't you, dear? Well, we owe a little bit to Ekan here, but the long and short of it is I did suffer a long time, and I learned to live with it. For those who have this condition, you really do just push through, and because you don't want to complain about something that nobody acknowledges, you know, exists. Mm-hmm. I wound up in Baltimore, Maryland, have been there for we've almost been married 50 years. And I was introduced to Ekan in 1995 and wouldn't listen. After all, I grew up in medicine. And, you know, if this condition didn't exist, and they had never, ever suggested magnets or anything like this, then it couldn't be any good. And I ultimately really, I guess it took about 3 or 4 months of a persistent friend. God bless those persistent friends. If any of you all are trying to help a friend, keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
Because she hung in there, and I finally just said, what's it going to take to get you to knock it off?
Mm-hmm.
And she said to try these for 3 months, which I did. And after that, I mean, the rest is history. It took me about 2 years, year and a half after that to do a business because I wasn't looking for one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been a kept woman my whole life, and I had the perfect life. Why would I ever want to work?
Mm-hmm.
But then you find out that you're going to share this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered is that, you know, I don't care how much money you've got. There's always something good you can do with it. And when I discovered other people were making money doing what I was doing for nothing,
mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, I'm no businesswoman, but I'm not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing the canon. I guess that was June 5th of 1996. I mark the day now. We still celebrate it. It's when I just said, I'm doing this thing.
Wow.
And that was it.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, as you said, you guys didn't need the money. Obviously, you had a health challenge. George has been very successful. He was in insurance. He was in insurance, wasn't he?
Yes, he's a general agent for Massachusetts Mutual in the state of Maryland.
Mm-hmm. And but when you started feeling better, did you was it just so spontaneous that you started sharing? I mean, who did you think about when you started feeling better that you just said, "Oh, I got to share this with this person"? Who came to your mind?
Well, you know what's amazing, Dave, when you're not trying to do something, how easy it is to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could learn to back off a bit. What really happened is we traveled a lot in the insurance circles we had for 40 years with these various conventions, and these people had seen me quit wearing high heels, give up my tennis, give up my golf. I never could attend the evenings when we first arrived. Anytime I traveled anywhere, I had to go to bed when I first got there. The travel was so debilitating. And they saw me, just this revival right before their eyes, and they just they said to me, "I'll have whatever you're having." You know, it was kind of just like the old Harry Meets Sally show. I mean, "I'll have whatever she's having." So they asked me, "What are you doing?" And so I told them, and I had a lot. I wasn't doing the business then. I told them to call my upline, Kimora Ayers, and I just carried around an index card that had her name on it. And actually, I did better then than when I tried to do it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, Elsa, I've said many, many times that people are natural networkers.
Right.
You know, we're all kind of born to be networked. We network a book, we network a restaurant, never intending to make any money on it.
Exactly.
And now when we get into network marketing, we somehow get the feeling that we have to sell something.
Exactly. I mean, I really had to unlearn. It was incredible because I thought back, why did it go so well in the very beginning?
Mm-hmm.
It's because I wasn't trying.
Mm-hmm.
I just had something great.
Uh-huh. And you were sharing your heart. It was always enthusiastic. And
absolutely.
And you got a little excited when you were making some money, right?
Well, you know what, Dave? I had never made any money, and so I wanted to do something. I had a couple of things that had always nagged at me. And one was just I had incredible parents. They were Europeans, and they just had contributed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do something, and I wanted to go out and become a millionaire. It was I wanted to be purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make a difference. And as you get older, you really want to be able to make a difference. And I always knew there was something I was supposed to do. You know, I knew there was some great, incredible gift that I had that I just hadn't unwrapped it yet, but I didn't know what it was. And then I discovered that this was it because I love health. I would have been a doctor, definitely, if it hadn't been back in the era where women weren't doctors. You know, we were school teachers or we were nurses, but we weren't doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always had, I wanted to help people feel better, and I just definitely wanted to make my mark. So I got more excited about the fact that I could really, truly make a difference in people's lives initially.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have to be honest, totally honest with you. When money came in, I thought, "Oh my gosh, I've got money!" Little old me, I have money, and I was able. They got me a car, and I've had three or four wonderful, wonderful cars. But the interesting thing was, is these checks started coming in, and George, who I guess I should tell this little part of it. George kind of hid in the den, because he was a little embarrassed that I was going to do network marketing, but he's a kind, generous man who would never stop me and never say anything negative. So he determined that if he could not be positive, he would just be absent. And so every time I invited people over, which is how I did it, I invited them to my house, he went upstairs in the den every single time someone came. So for about a year and a half, he, you know, hid in the den, and I made money. And I left a check out on an island, and it was for $12,000. I don't like to quote sums, but he does, so I figured I would.
You're right. I love it.
And he just said, "What is, you know, how could this little pipsqueak who has no business acumen at all earn this kind of money?" So he studied it. I did not study it. I just passionately followed my heart and knew that I could really make a difference in the lives of other people. And George is one of those analytical lawyer, businessman type people. And so he just dug in and studied the heck out of this, just tore it apart. From everything from the timing to the company, and he got a little stymied and stalemated on network marketing, so he read a ton of books. And he just, then as you well know, George started speaking with me. In fact, he joined me in the business, and I never kind of knew how that happened.
When you were sleeping, he got an application out and put his name on it.
I know. I thought, and then I would listen to him and think, Dad, Garmet, sounds like he thinks it was his idea.
Yeah, that's right. I love it.
I know, but, and it does. It just, things that are meant to be just sort of happen if you don't get in your own way.
Well,
and the only problem I've ever had is when I get my own way.
Yeah, that's a powerful statement.
Yeah.
I want to come back to the business opportunity in a minute here, but I don't want to leave your testimonial yet. Describe a little bit what you couldn't do before NECAN and what you can do now.
Well, Dave, it was one of these little things that just, it started in neck and shoulders, and I couldn't wear a necklace. I couldn't. This is teenage years, and then it went to my jaws, and I could never eat a sandwich. I wore all these braces three times, all these different things in my mouth over, the next 30 years. And it started in 15, 20, 30. It hit my knees with a vengeance, and I started having to, you know, really limit my tennis, and ultimately, in later years, totally gave it up. But in order to play, I had to take so many drugs. In order to do anything, that I had to take the drugs, and they told me at the time that I would eventually need two knee replacements. And then it went to my back. I took up golf, trying to keep up with my husband, and you can imagine what that did to my back. I wore a TENS unit for 12 years, strapped to my belt. Those who know the TENS unit that you would just have zapping your pain. I would take Valium and painkillers to just play nine holes. Anything to not, we people with my condition do not go down easily at all, because it's so chronic and so ever-present that if you did, you'd miss all of life. And so you fight it any way that you can, but it comes back at you, Dave. It just, if they say, okay, if your neck isn't going to get you, I'll hit your knees. If your knees won't get you, I'll get your back. It went from the back to the feet, and the ultimate horrible, the worst of all, was the dizzy spells. And they would fail me literally, virtually, for 6 days. It was a six-day stretch. I had to sit in our recliner. George had to have somebody come in and stay with me. I couldn't move. The ceiling and the floor, I couldn't tell the difference. It was horrifying. And I never knew when they were going to hit. And when they did, that was just it. It was curtains for 6 days. And that, I still get a faint little kind of turn my head, and I can get, oh, my gosh. And all I do is put the palm mag there. Gone.
Oh, my goodness.
I never get a dizzy spell. They said I would have to fuse my back. I've never fused my back. I play golf.
This was in your 40s and 50s?
40s and 50s. It was neck and shoulders and knees and things, but when it really became debilitating was 40s and 50s. And, of course, I was 56 when I was introduced to NECAN, and when I had bad bouts, I'd been in wheelchairs. Most of the time, I could force through anything, and then this thing would just hit you and say, oh, you think you're going to get up and go, and I'd be felled completely. Flat on the back, or, you know, a couple of times in a wheelchair. George took me in a wheelchair for to see the orthopedic surgeon, and that's when we asked for the options, and he said fusion. And I have not fused my spine. I have not replaced my knees. I have not equilibrated my jaw. I don't have to wear these big neck braces for the dizzy spells. I think I'm the bionic grandmother.
What's your favorite product, though?
My favorite product, that's the hardest thing in the world to say.
Yes, isn't it?
It's so hard, because right now, I guess if I had to, trying to keep myself all, how do you give up the water in the sleep system? But the palm mag, that I can take with me. I had just the faintest little sign of anything, indigestion, I hold it at my sternum. You know, twinge in the back, I take it on the golf course with me. Little thing like turning my head, is that a dizzy spell? Put it over my left ear. I wake up every morning, hold it over my head, because Dr. Mosco said, if you will, I swear, I just tell you, it really sets your mind right for the day or something. I think it's the greatest antidepressant out there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'd have to say the Palm Mag.
Mm-hmm.
Or what do we call it now, the Power Mag?
The Power Mag, yeah.
Power Mag,
what a neat little product that is.
And oh,
it's so expensive, you know, for what people get out of that. I think we still have the same batteries as the day we got it.
It's unbelievable. Let me tell you, the people with arthritis, because my thumbs, I had such a family just riddled with arthritis, and I mean, here I play, I can't tell you what I do, and I hold it because of the design of it. I can line up each thumb. I just hold it in front of me with my thumbs along that little thing that looks like a bottom of a blimp, and just hold it there. You will not believe your hands. You will have absolutely nothing. Unbelievable device, but it's hard to give up water. It's hard to give up sleep systems. Hard to give up Jade Greenzymes
because they're all interrelated, aren't they?
They're all. It's really so. I had someone over today. In fact, she'd come to cut my hair, and she ended up asking me. She wanted to know about my skin. Have you noticed how wonderful people's skin looks? It's incredible. So it all started because she asked me about my skin. And one thing led to another. But I was just showing her. Of course, I have a wellness home here, and how interrelated it all is without looking like I was trying to sell her something.
Absolutely. You know, Elsa, as good as these products are and as great as our own testimonials are, when Ellie and I, and we got tremendous results with these products, but when we began to share them with other people, our feeling about these products went to another level because of what other people were feeling. You're a diamond, and you have a huge organization. For those people who are new on the call tonight, diamond probably doesn't mean anything to you. It's a rank that Nikian has. It just means that she makes a lot of money. And you, when we share these people or these products with other people, Elsa, if you can think of anyone in your organization that comes to your mind very quickly, share a testimonial with us that's not yours, that is someone that you had the opportunity of helping them change their life.
Oh, my heavens. A lady down the street, and you now know her, Ann Kern, one of my platinums. I didn't really know her that well. She came to me, David, because she had a child who had the ADHD, and she was one of those people who refused. She's a very natural. She's a naturalist, and she didn't want any drugs. And she happened to be talking to another gal whose husband, you know, was on the radio programs and so forth. And she just said, "Hey, listen, I hear magnets do something. You know, let me get you in touch with someone." And Ann said, "Oh no, you know, the old lady up on the corner. She does that thing. Yeah. I'll call her." So she called me. I told her to bring Patrick up. Gave him a rollout. The kid fell sound asleep on my floor. It was amazing. Ann just looked at it. She just thought I meant she signed up on the spot. And he just did this most incredible turnaround you've ever seen. I just love this boy. He was being kicked out of the school, about his third school. He was like, you know, a DF student. Oh, the poor coaches, he wanted to play sports so badly. When they saw him coming, they'd say, "Oh, no, you know, oh, no, we're going to be stuck with him." He went to became an A student. He became the most valuable player. He was captain of his team. This kid did the most, and knew it immediately when she, you know, got him a sleep system, got him everything, looked out. Kid who couldn't concentrate for 3 seconds was sitting out working with his computer for 3 hours. On the back porch, and his story is just, well, I've got zillions like that, as you do too, but it warmed the cockles of my heart because he was young, and because they came to me, and because they were one of my first.
And how old was he at that time?
He was 16.
16.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
What a change in his life.
Oh, just a remarkable, remarkable change.
Now, something else we don't talk a lot about, Elsa, and you mentioned it with this 16-year-old boy, was the rollout.
Yes.
You know, we forget to give people rollouts.
Oh, I've given them here to just each other.
Yeah. And you know, and they're life-changing.
They're life-changing.
What a wonderful way, because up and down your spine, there's something like 20,000 nerve endings that start, you know, go up and down your spine. And when you roll that magnetic creator up and down your spine, Mr. Masuda knew what he was talking about when he designed that, didn't he?
We owe everybody. I mean, if you haven't, the person who signed you up has not given you a rollout, you go back and say, "You owe me." Elsa says, "You owe me." And hang in there till you get one, because it is a gift. And it is such a telltale. But, you know, Dave, this is a good time to mention this. Because I was so bad, I had so many trigger points in my body, the rollout hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have somebody and it hurts because of the trigger points we have, just kind of mark those little spots. I used to just kind of remember where they were and put a little mini magnet on it and let it break up before you do a real rollout. And then maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, try one.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's very good because it'll show you some spots that you wouldn't have known about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's wonderful. I sell just those mag creators.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, my sister made silver just on giving rollouts.
Oh,
we sometimes wonder how can we introduce Nikan to people. Well, I mean, who wouldn't want a free magnetic massage?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, it's the kindest, most wonderful thing you can do for a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's really. I think we need to kind of get back to reemphasizing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we've gotten a little away from it.
No, I agree with you. Okay, now we heard a health testimonial. Share a little opportunity testimonial of someone that you really helped. You changed their life financially. You know, whether it was a rags to riches story or they just had some real challenges financially, and because you shared your heart with them, and you took the time to share with them, and their life changed. Can you share a story with us?
Well, I think the most, I guess there are a lot of scenarios. I don't have any true total rags to riches stories. I have, what I have more of is people being able to stay home with
mm-hmm.
the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm about to call Good Morning America and talk to them because they have talks on all the time about how women can stay home and they never mention network marketing.
Yeah.
They never, ever mention it. And I'm going to get on there and hammer them a little bit because I can't think of a better way to let somebody, I don't really think in terms of the men, and you can probably cite more of these, who instead of going to a day job, like David Silverman likes to say, I don't have a lot of men who instead of going to their job, their home, I have a lot of women
mm-hmm.
who instead of having to have a job can be housewives, can literally stay at home and be a housewife, which is what, how many people now don't have to have a second income,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is just unbelievably, but to me the thing is more than anything, I think what excites me the most, David, and I think it's my age, is retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think anybody is prepared for retirement. I don't care who they are, and I don't
mm-hmm.
care how much money they made.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to live a heck of a lot longer, and we're going to need more money just because of inflation and what's happening. And so the biggest thrust that I have income-wise is to tell people this is your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, I say that we're leaving a legacy of health and wealth.
Mm-hmm.
to our children, and
yeah.
it's enabled us to have an incredible retirement. George retired 10 years ago, and it's, as you said, you know, he did a good job. George made money, but who couldn't use extra for retirement?
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell people sometimes that you better be careful because these products will have a great chance of getting you to live longer, and if you're not sharing it with other people, you're going to run out of money.
You're going to run out of money. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And listen, if we don't share with other people, we're going to run out of friends.
That's right.
They're going to be gone. We're going to be here 150 years.
Oh, you know, I never thought of that. That's true.
That's it. I plan on being here a long, long time, and I want you guys with me.
That's right. And who wants to play golf with the sick people, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I get a lot of, I wear a back flex that the neighbors below me. In fact, I'm using her phone. And if you see us, we've got magnets plastered all over us. But I mean, Anthony 75, you know, we're all up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out there on the golf course, and we're out there riding bikes, and we're walking the beach, and working out at the fitness center. And, you know, we've got our mag steps and our back belts. And it's just, we're a walking, talking advertisement.
I know, Elsa, and I still can't believe you're approaching 70. Let's change the direction here a
yep.
little bit. How do you prospect today?
Okay. You know, it's amazing because I think today I don't try to.
Mm-hmm.
I have developed, and I think it's through what I've learned from experience of just being in the can and from many of the lessons I've learned from the books we've read. David, I attract people like honey attracts bees.
Mm.
I just attract them because I have it in my mind that I'm going to attract them.
Mm-hmm.
And I say little things, little things. I say that I'm a magnet to money.
Mm-hmm.
And I am. I'm a magnet to money.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful song to sing to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, like, I'm happy to see people. I love people. They feel good. I'm not bragging about myself. I'm trying to convey to people that if it's what, it's like a boomerang. Whatever you throw out comes back. And if you throw out negative energy or you're down and out that day and your little boomerang goes around, guess what? That boomerang comes right back at you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just glowy and get healthy yourself first, if you're good and healthy and glowy and you really just throw out this optimistic, life is wonderful, isn't this a great day, I love you, you're great, you're a terrific person. The person who came to the house to do my hair because she does other people's at their homes, was just drawn right into me, and because I loved her. She walked in the door, and suddenly she's telling me all her problems and the whole world and her son, and it just breaks my heart, and I know I can help, so I gave her some stuff, and she'll end up a distributor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she just will. So I think I attract them because I care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I go out looking. I mean, you're just listening. She just, for some odd reason, she wanted to tell me her everything.
Mm-hmm.
And people do it with jobs, too. And so maybe you try to help them because they've told you about their son. And, I mean, she had quite a story today. It really makes me well up when I hear these things. And then I get all excited because I think I can help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then you'll hear things about money and the people who've lost their jobs. And so then when I say that I'm going to help, instead of handing, like I handed her some immunity and some water and some this and that to take, well, then I would talk to them, and I love, there's some wonderful things out there, you know, about just the chance to make extra money through the principle of leverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think George is blown away on this, and whenever there's somebody who's really interested in earning some money, I bring him in because he really thinks it's the truest, most honest form of free enterprise that exists today.
Mm.
And he said it's a win-win for the company, and it's a win-win for us, the consultants, because they don't have to pay anybody who doesn't do anything. We get paid in direct accordance to what we do.
Mm-hmm.
How fair is that?
Everybody wins, right?
Everybody wins
in this process.
And the other thing he can't believe is he said you will never, ever see this in corporate America, ever. Everybody helps one another.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in the same line. We're not, and we all help one another. Everybody's on the same mission. It's a mission for me.
Yeah.
And when you're on the same mission, you're not trying to beat each other out.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to help each other achieve the goal. So I think it's a cooperation, and it's just, I can help these people. I can help you with almost anything you come at me with, and I can do it. So I just wait to hear what it is that I can help you with.
Absolutely, you know, and I just had an aha, and I do this, I get these once in a while, when you were saying that you go out to listen. Many times we go out to look for that next distributor, we go out to look for our next Royal Diamond, but you made a phrase that this is just, guys on this call, you can't overlook this very simple little thing, when it also says she goes out to look, I mean to listen.
Well,
that to listen now.
Yeah.
The mind is a powerful, powerful thing that God has given us, and so you have to get your mind to listen, don't you?
Oh, you do. But first, David, you have to care.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, remember when I said I mentioned getting in my own way.
Mm-hmm.
If I could teach anybody anything, it'd be get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really are a very kind, caring, compassionate person who really does care desperately about other people. You've just been caught in this role that you play. We're all caught in these roles that we play, and we're so busy playing them that we kind of lost being ourselves. And so really, when all of us get back to just being who we are, we really do want to listen, and we do want to help, and we do want to learn about other people. And when you do, it just all plays out, and it kind of falls in your lap.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's such a wonderfully easy thing to do once you learn to just be yourself.
Mm-hmm. People know when we care, don't they?
They definitely know, and they can see it in your eyes. So you better really care. You can't fake this.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't say, I'm looking for my number one Royal Diamond. I think that's who he is, so I think I'm going to act like I care about him.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly. And asking a few questions and then listening is a real art to telling, to saying to you, I really care about you.
Oh, absolutely. And you don't look for the questions. If you, people are always asking, what do you say?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Trish Winkler, I just love her for this. She, you know, asked, what do you say? She says, what do I say? Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to whom do you say it? Anybody.
Yes.
And I love it because it's so, we were just talking. I wasn't even looking at this. I wasn't looking for this hairdresser to be my newest Royal Diamond, even though she's got a lot of dress shops, because everybody I meet is a potential. Every single person all day long. So I can't think of them all as being potential. I just, they just will show up. Things will trigger in the course of your everyday conversations and your everyday caring. And your, so it just, you know, she'd been here a couple of times and nothing, I don't know. I don't know where it came from. It was just the talking and sharing that we do with everybody about them and about their life. And it just winds its way around to the fact that they can sense, and some offer, some don't. Let me tell you one quick story. I was trying to avoid having to deal with this at all when I had a bunch of friends with me, and they don't, you know, they were not my McCann fans. They'd never sort of been supporters. And so we were at a dress shop, and a lady, I needed a bunch of clothes I could travel with. And so this lady wanted to talk to me about it and said, what do you do? And these other gals were around, and I didn't want to discuss it because I knew they weren't, you know, I just wasn't going to bring this up. So I was trying to get out of it quickly, and I said, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. And so, you know, it got her. She said, oh, well, she wanted to know all about it because I was an entrepreneur. So now I just tell people, and they say, well, entrepreneur doing what? And I say, well, I teach other people how to be entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, could you help me be an entrepreneur? I don't know. Let's sit down and talk about it. I don't know enough about you yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the time what I ended up learning about this woman, so now I have a person in Colorado.
Yeah, and if you would have approached her with a script, or
you
would have been scripted, you probably would have lost her.
Oh, I definitely would have. I was really just trying to not have to talk at all. So I came across. So I really don't have a script. It's just if the conversation is going right, stay with it. If it isn't, get out of there or change topics or get off of it. Or some people it flows easily. Some people it doesn't. Some want to talk. Some don't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think everybody's got to become a prospect. You know, anybody out there, just don't think everybody has to become a recruit, really.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Just you can talk to anybody. Everybody who exists is a, you know, can be a prospect, but you can't recruit everybody.
Absolutely. Ellie and I have always appreciated the five pillars of health that Nikki has. It's so balanced. It's so all-inclusive in your life. Elsa, are you a different person today, mentally, emotionally, than what you were before you got into Nikan?
You know, Dave, I'm going to, in fact, it's for your people, I think, in Richmond that they've asked me to come speak. And the other day I got the topic for what my whole thing I'm going to discuss right now. It came from Robin Roberts' mother after she'd been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she said to her, let your mess be your message.
Mm-hmm.
That my mess of my life, because of health and then because of the mental anguish that goes with that kind of health and because of the balance, the lack of balance, because you're so concentrated, just trying to get through a day, made the pillars of health really so important to me that I can't tell you that each day I look at that and I make sure that I'm hitting some part of it. Maybe at the last minute I'm calling a kid. Maybe I contribute to something I wouldn't have contributed to. I always start the day. I always start the day with my little, I have my little songs that I've made up. They're very, you know, they're religious in nature because I'm just appreciative. And so I say my little thank yous and I sing little songs myself.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So to get in the right frame of mind and get the day going the right way, and then I say, okay, what's our exercise today? I make sure. And you know, it's one of the most important things you can do as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
Is so we do our nutrition. We're faithful on that. We do the health. We do the mental, the reading. I cannot tell you the little songs I sing, the affirmations. And as I say, family, I'm enthralled with the five pillars of health. And 9/10 of us are grossly out of balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We gear our life around it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we live in such a negative environment so many times, we have to do things that will, I call it intervention.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you have the, you have the pollution of the air, you have the pollution of the water, you have the electronic pollution, You have the noise pollution. You have stress pollution and all this kind of stuff. And more so, if we don't learn how to intervene,
exactly,
all that has such a negative effect on us, and people don't even realize it.
Well, you know, we were just talking today as we took an hour-long walk on the beach and saw nothing but dolphins. How nice is that?
Wow.
And we had said to ourselves, it's hard to go back to your other life. And I said, George, what we're going to do is we're going to get back in that other life. And then when it starts feeling the least bit frenetic, or if something starts getting out of balance, we're going to stop and discuss it and say, do we need this in our life?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got the perfect example down here of what it's like to mm-hmm. be totally balanced and to really, really have the time to work on. And then we have to just stop and say, all right, now, do we need this? Because we can, you know, again, these roles we play,
mm-hmm.
we can go rolling along with it without ever stopping and maybe taking a look at it. Is this really necessary? Is it getting me where I want to go? And so we'll just sort out things and decide what things really still belong in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of that whole balance.
And that is even so vital as we get older. Because I know that Ellie and I, in the last year or so, we've had to learn how to say no to some things.
Yes.
You know, that we thought were good, that we thought, you know, we were needed.
Right.
And just so many different things that was just kind of complicating our life. And the older I get, the more simple I want it to be.
Right. Simple and meaningful and purposeful.
Yeah.
And sometimes, again, it's always those roles we're playing. We've been playing many roles for many people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just sit back and just decide, what role are you playing right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, David, what it does. And it can give you the opportunity, number one, it gives you the financial freedom
mm-hmm.
to be able to sit back and say those things to yourself, which is huge. But it gives you the guidelines.
Yeah, absolutely. Elsa, as we're on this track of maybe the how-tos a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I'm a brand-new distributor that now I want to build my business. How would you start me as a brand-new wellness consultant from day one?
Okay, well, what I'd like to know first, David, if I would bring you over the house, I'd bring everybody over the house. That's because I'm a housewife,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I'm comfortable. I just urge everybody to do whatever is comfortable for you. And so you'd come over to my kitchen table. And we would certainly, I assume at this point I know pretty darn much about you, because I like to find out exactly what it is. I want to know what would you like Nikan to do for you?
Well, I would probably want to have more free time with my family and probably have less stress in it. I don't know, just even feeling better, making some money.
Okay, and tell me, David, how much money would you like to make?
Well, an extra $2,000-$3,000 a month would be really nice.
Okay. For this extra $2,000 or $3,000 a month, how much would you be willing to invest in anything that would provide you $2,000 or $3,000 a month? Do you have any means of sort of getting started in something?
Our bank account is always kind of in the red, Alpha.
Yeah.
And I think we could access some money somewhere, but I don't know, maybe $500,000.
Yep.
I think I could get my hands on something.
Okay. Now, if you can, and it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter at all, because anybody can start absolutely anywhere. I just have to get a little feel about what it is that you really would like for Nikan to provide for you, and then let's see what kind of a game plan we can put together in order to achieve that. Now, if you'd like to make $2,000 or $3,000 extra a month, and you could come up with maybe $500 or $1,000 to get yourself started, how about time? How much time do you think you could give me a week?
I work during the day, so probably one night a week.
One night a week. All right, now we have to make that one night count, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, and so then at this point, I will go through with you. I say, now what we have here is we don't build up an inventory, Dave, at all. You're not going to buy a ton of products, and we're not going to keep them in the basement. You don't see me showing you anything except what I'm using, right?
So I don't have to spend $500,000 every month?
Absolutely not. In fact, all we'll do with what you can spend, all we'll do is just get you up and started, and I'll show you how to do that in a minute. But I want to let you get an overall picture of where this really comes from, because it's not stocking your house and having a supply of goods you can sell. And most people have to learn this up front. What's your whole, you need people equity. We need people. That's how we build this business. That's exactly what makes it work. Is people. So let me see. Would you say that you have a lot of friends and family, or would you say that you're a little more introverted and have a limited?
Well, I'm not the most extroverted person. We've lived in this town all our life, and we know a lot of people.
Tell me something, Dave. Who's the first person that just comes in your mind just right now where we're talking? Who's the very first person that you just love to have? You're excited about this. You would love to have them in this with you.
Probably my friend John.
Okay. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start. We're going to see John. Do you think you could get John to come over here to the house with us, with me?
You mean for me to bring him over to your house
yeah.
to look at the products?
Yes, to just have him come over and look at the products and just let me have a little chit-chat with him, or we can go meet him somewhere. Could I get together with John?
Yeah, I think I could arrange that.
Okay. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to get together with John, and then you're going to watch me in action. And then I'm going to show you just one person at a time how you build this business. And I'm going to help you with John see about two or three other people. We'll just bring them over here to my kitchen table if that works for them. If it doesn't, I'm willing to go elsewhere. But, you know, I never had anybody who didn't come to my kitchen table.
Mm.
Can you believe it?
Mm.
And later on, when George joined me, they came to the porch.
Mm, wow.
And so we did it one by one. And the way I started it, I don't do it as much now, but when I did it back then, I had, like, my friend Diane, and I said, can you think of one other person who really deserved to know about this? And she said, oh, sure. I said, well, you go get her and come back next week, and I'm going to ask somebody, too. So she got someone, and I got someone. And then we're all four sitting around there and just ask each one, do you know someone? Who's the first person that comes to mind that you really, really, really want to share this with?
Mm.
Who deserves to know about this? So if each person brings one more person, we finally outgrew my kitchen table.
Mm.
And we went down to the rec room. And then we outgrew that rec room, and we went over. Remember when I did the luncheons at Baltimore Country Club?
Sure,
remember
did.
That?
Yes.
Yep, did those for, all those years. So
yeah,
I just
food and people will come, right?
Absolutely. So each person just keeps, I'm sort of a get them one at a time person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then as you get one, then I get one. And so I grew in depth, but they kind of just learned as we were doing. It was fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't do as much of it that way anymore. Now I'm more one-on-one wherever I happen to be,
mm-hmm.
and they sign up quicker,
mm-hmm.
and they tend to get going pretty fast.
Now, Elsa, have you found it's easier to get them to your house than what it is to go to a meeting, into a meeting room?
Absolutely. I've never been able to get people to meeting rooms well. They just come to my house. It may be our age, the people just, it may be that, but I do have trouble getting people to go to meeting rooms until they're in and excited, and then once they're excited, they want to go to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have a reason to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, but other people have had good luck. I've got so many people who, after all, the people are bringing the people to me.
Mm-hmm.
But they do come to the house easily. We have a wonderful big old front porch, and they'll come and sit on the front porch out there in a rocker and sit and just talk to us and get to see. Nowadays, they get a tour of the wellness home. In the past, I had my products out on the pool table. And, we'd sit at the kitchen table, and then we'd walk down to the pool table, and I could show them the products, and I gave a rollout down in the rec room. So
wow.
It was a different setup. Now we walk through the house, and I say, would you like to see? I've got two things I can show you. It's a little bit different as time goes on. We adjust, and we're a little, obviously, further along. But if they come in with some of my distributors, and I'll say two things I'm going to show you tonight. One is I'm going to show you a wellness home in operation.
Mm.
And then two, I'm going to take you down to the rec room and show you just why there's such a phenomenal business opportunity tied in with this. Where would you like to start?
You know, Elsa, as your new wellness consultant, it doesn't take a lot of money. It doesn't take a lot of time. You'll help me with my friends one at a time. I don't know. I get a sense that it sounds too easy.
I tell you, Dave, it is easy. It's simple. It's very simple because the process is simple, and what we're sharing is simple. It's not easy because not everybody wants to hear us.
Right, right.
And you're going to have people who think you're nuts. You're going to have, we have a joke out there that Cecil got them. They're all excited. They talk to you. Then they go home and they lose it all. Well, somebody along the way said, oh, you're not going to do that. Or, oh, those magnets, that's a bunch of schmucks. So it's the reactions that you get from other people that will be the thing that will throw you a little bit. And that's what we're here for. That's what I'm here to help you with.
Mm-hmm. So that when that person says no, they're actually saying no to you instead of no to me.
Exactly. they're saying no to me, and also sometimes they're not really saying no. They just don't know yet. And so sometimes I'll beat people and say, don't say no till you know what you're saying no to. And so it's just that they don't know. But we have ways, you and I and those of us who've been in it a while, that we can, I don't get rejected because I don't set myself up for that. They can't. And that's why I want to do it with you in the beginning and just let you see and see and let you watch us turn our back. I want it to be there so when I can see this isn't right, I can say to this person, you know, I don't think this is right for you. You know, and it very often isn't, or it doesn't appear that really anything that I'm saying here is of interest to you, or showing them around the house and their eyes are rolling in their head or something like that. You don't hang in there with a person like that. You just very nicely just cut it off. And spare them. And I think too many people want to talk somebody into it. And don't. Just look for someone who's looking for you. And if the response is there and they're tuned in and there's just this wonderful, that rapport that you can feel, then just, you know, we've got something. If it isn't, let's move on. Move on. There are tons more people to see.
Yeah, and I think, again, the key is that we're not selling something. We're just sharing information.
Absolutely.
You know, if I would be paid $1,000 to go out there and share a book that I just read to, let's say, 50 people. And look, this is a great book. You got to go to Barnes & Noble and get this book or whatever. And that would be the extent of what I would have to do. You know, that's sharing information. Now, if I would have to go and sell that book to that person, collect the money, go buy the book and give it and deliver it to them, you know, I'm not a salesman.
Exactly.
And I think sometimes we not intentionally, but we somehow think we have to turn our people into selling these products.
Well, you know, I just feel that salesmen are really have more trouble with this than almost anybody. I think teachers are wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
I think teachers are magnificent. I think housewives are magnificent because we're used to caring about other people and we're used to being just tuned into their needs. And I think salespeople just have trouble with the fact that they're not out there just to sell some mag steps and a sleep system and a wellness home. I was almost sorry when the wellness home came in, although I love it and I think it's phenomenal because people think they have to buy a wellness home.
Yeah, right.
And you don't. You can buy, you know what you can buy? You can buy anything you can afford to start with, and then we can build up to your wellness home, I think, after seeing mine. And when you hear all the stories, your ultimate goal is going to be to have one, but you don't have to start with one. You know, not everybody can.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
So for those who can, it's great. So I think that it's, I mean, my heavens, I started many a person with mag steps, and I sold a lot of sleep systems, Dave, because I gave rollouts.
Yeah.
I mean, back in those days in the beginning, gave a lot of rollouts, and it's hard not to get a sleep system when you've had a rollout.
When you've had a good rollout.
Yep.
Well, Elsa, this has probably been one of the best role play things that I've ever heard someone do.
Oh, my heavens. Well, you know, it's because you're so good.
No, you are so good. You're so natural, you know, and I hope that comes across to the people on the call tonight, that this is not a hard business.
It's
not. Sharing of your heart and to ask the questions, to listen, to be friendly, to get people to like you, and then if they say no, thank them.
Exactly.
Thank them, because I know when I thank somebody when they say no to me, it releases me from that negative emotion.
Don't let no one listen. Let me tell you something I learned as a 13-year-old. I used to read these little when the calendar came with the little slips on it, and it was Eleanor Roosevelt, and this one said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." My favorite. I mean, I carried that until it was absolutely moth-eaten. The same thing with about negativity. No one can make me feel negative without my consent. No one can make me feel down. I refuse to let people do that to me, and I don't ever want to do it to anybody else. So if every day it's going to be every person you encounter is going to feel better because they encountered you, if that's your goal, you will draw those people to you, because guess what? They're going to want to be around you.
Absolutely, you'll be attracted.
Absolutely.
Well, we are getting down to the bottom of the hour, and I can't tell you how fun it was for me just to hear you say some of this stuff. And
well, you're my mentor, dear. You do remember that.
Well,
you taught me a bunch of this.
Well, I tell you, I know you've been a student, but I tell you, it's exciting when the student becomes a teacher, and I learn. And Elsa, what do you see the future of NECAN to be?
Oh, golly, what's so exciting right now is we've been waiting for this. It's sort of like you just, when I read everything in the paper, when I see now that even NECAN is sending out to our newspapers this that little article about the NECAN and autism, I see us creeping in everywhere, and it's just going to explode. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be this mammoth, like when everybody bought TVs and when they said that nobody would ever have computers, when everything just explodes, and NECAN's been building and building and building for this.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so great. You're still on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know, now is the best time.
Now's the best time at all, because we haven't, all the rest of us have been working so hard, paving the way,
mm-hmm.
waiting for this just to get off the ground, and just as the plane is taking off, it is so exciting. I can't stand it, because we have done all the groundwork we've done. We're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
NECAN is prepared to totally capitalize on the fact that people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they're sick and tired of having to work for somebody else and having nothing to show for it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They're sick of it.
Yeah.
And NECAN has the answer for both of the sick and tired, and we're just sitting there pretty.
Yeah.
Just think of how many people we can help.
Oh, my goodness. And you know, the need is growing faster than the impact that we're having. That's what that motivates me sometimes.
Well,
oh, my goodness. People,
that's the only thing that bothers me a little bit. And it's just like, I don't know if we, for some odd reason, if we can get out there fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suddenly getting this sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, can we get out there fast enough? Because there are so many, there are people going under, and there are people succumbing to incredible health problems and so forth just because of the drugs and surgeries and things that they thought was their only option.
Absolutely. You know, I think the 100th monkey syndrome is beginning to take place, because whenever I'm talking to Diamonds and Royal Diamonds, Platinums, some of the leaders around the country, they're all feeling the same thing.
Yep.
And it's not that we're talking to each other every day, but we're just getting that sense and that feeling, because there is an urgency.
Well, and over the years of doing it, we've been trained to pick up the pulse
mm-hmm.
of the people around us, and we're picking up this pulse, these vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
tuned into them, and they're there. They are so ready. So I'm excited for all the people on the call who really have joined us. They're certainly in at the right time. And to be sure and just let all those who are already successful help you.
Absolutely.
That's what we're here for.
And for those of you who are on the call has been taped this evening. You can go into growinginwellness.com. That's growinginwellness.com. And you'll want to get a copy of this talk. I know I want to. And pass it around to your friends and let them hear Elsa's heart. You know, not just her information, but to feel her heart and to hear her heart as to what NECAN is all about. It's a wonderful tool to go out there and to recruit and to share with other people. One last word of advice, Elsa, before we let you run.
Oh, David, I think that the most important thing that I can say as you travel down this NECAN road and is to just, folks, have fun. It's fun. And if you have fun, there's not enough fun going on
mm-hmm.
out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
So go out and have fun. Others will be attracted to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Elsa, I know that you guys are having a lot of fun down there. Again, thank George for giving us you to us for an hour this evening.
During March Madness, it doesn't matter. I'm supposed to hibernate during March Madness.
Absolutely. And you tell him I still want him to write that book on follow-up. You know,
oh, absolutely.
He hasn't written that book. So.
I know. We'll get him. Well, Dave, listen, it's always a pleasure. I think that's why we converse so well together, because we're really so fond of each other.
Absolutely. Well, we're so fond of you, Elsa. And thank you. Thank you so much for your leadership out there. And thank you for your friendship. So,
and we'll see everybody in the convention in October.
Sounds really good.
Terrific.
Thanks again, Elsa.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
So we want to thank all of you for being on this call tonight, and God bless you, and have a great week.